Today we're starting a brand new sermon series called Opt In, Opt Out. It's opting into the voices of wisdom and opting out of the voices of foolishness. And we're going to be in today's story in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and that's page in the church Bible's page 246. I want to say something to you, and then I want you to repeat it. I know you're at home, and I know there's things going on in your house, and somebody's watching you, and you're going to say something out loud, but that's okay. You can be weird. It's fine. So listen, here's what I want you to say. What and who I listen to will influence what you do. You just say that with me out loud. Ready? What and who I listen to will influence what I do. And we're going to repeat that one more time, but with emphasis in the what and who, right? What and who I listen to will influence what I do. And all of us can stop and think of actions we took based on the advice of someone or while under the influence of another person, like parents or coaches, teachers, professors, maybe financial planners. We did something dumb because they said so, or we didn't and we should have, and you know, or consultants or mentors, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a roommate influenced you to do something, a spouse, a pastor, or a counselor somewhere along the line. What and who, look at this, what and who you listen to will influence what you do. The challenge, of course, is to determine which voices to listen to and which voices to filter out. But one thing is absolutely certain. What and who you listen to, look at this, will influence what you do. Every stage of life brings its own challenges in this area. When we were teenagers, we really didn't want to listen to anybody over 20, did we? We didn't think adults knew anything, so we leaned into the advice of our peers. When you did the dumbest thing you ever did as a kid, I'll bet all the money I have on me, which isn't a whole lot, that you weren't alone, right? We were always with someone else who influenced us. When we were in college, we think we knew everything, and then we had professors that we thought were helping us, and maybe they were, maybe they weren't. And then dating, right? The boyfriend says, I love you, and the girl absolutely melts. All reason and logic leaves. And the girlfriend just winks at the boy, and what happens? Nothing. The boy is just clueless to begin with, wasn't he? The first job, right? Somebody gave you some good financial advice, or maybe you ignored it, or you were consumed with your spending potential, not your saving potential, and you just finally had some money, and you just blew it, right? When you first become parents, that's another life area, isn't it? We're so tempted when we were nowadays to get parenting advice from Google and to maybe ignore experience of parents. But the sad thing is we don't even know if the people writing those Google blogs about parenting really even have children to begin with. We don't know anything about their kids, if they have them, how they're turning out. But that doesn't stop anybody from sharing advice on the internet, does it? At every stage of life, there is a fresh temptation to listen to the wrong people. And to some extent, all of us are where we are emotionally because of who we tuned in and who we tuned out. And all of us are where we are financially because of who we tuned in and who we tuned out. And all of us are where we are relationally. You got it. Because of who we tuned in and who we tuned out. And most of us wish we could go back and dial in some people and dial out others. We wish we would have changed some of that. We have some regrets tied to this. Why didn't we listen to him? Why did we trust her? Just about every husband wishes he had listened to his wife about something. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the voices of wisdom that influence us. And we're going to talk about the voices of foolishness that have influenced us too. To begin with, I want to read you a story from the Old Testament. It's about a leader who doesn't know good advice when he heard it. But first, a little background about this story. It happened in year 931 BC, and we know specifically when this happened. The kingdom of Israel is divided. The northern kingdom of Israel is known as Israel. It has its own king. There's a civil war. That's why we know this date specifically. And the kingdom, the southern kingdom of Israel is Judah. It's this huge civil war, and the kingdom split. About 50 years after that, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, he develops a relationship with Ahab, the king of Israel, and they sort of get along. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. I mean, he just trusted the Lord. He believed God and all his promises. Ahab, however, was the absolute opposite. He was a terribly wicked king, perhaps one of the most vilest, evilest kings, if that's a word, evilest kings that ever lived. Ahab was known to sacrifice his own children, his own, the princes of Israel. He would sacrifice them to his gods, to his idols. He was absolutely heartless. And the story starts out like this in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. He one of his daughters or sons or whatever married Ahab's daughter or son, the ones that were left after all the sacrifices, I suppose. And there was an alliance formed between these two. And do you know about alliances? The same alliance you made with your roommate in college, right? The same alliance you had with some best friend growing up that you did something naughty with. When you have alliances, they create influence, don't they? That's just what alliances do. It gives influence to someone else or receives influence from someone else. So some years later, he went down to see Ahab, his buddy in Samaria, and Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and for the people with him and urged him to attack Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, the king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, hey, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? If the two of us go, we're going to obliterate that town. They don't have a chance. This was a border town in Aram and Israel, right on the border, and kept going back and forth. It really belonged to Israel, but they kind of revolted. And Jehoshaphat replied, I am as you are, big buddy, and my people are as your people. We're behind you, and we will join you in war. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, but first, guys, let's seek the counsel of the Lord, because Jehoshaphat was godly. This is the equivalent of saying, Ahab, it sounds like a great plan, but have you prayed about it? Hey, Ahab, that's interesting and that sounds fun, but have you asked God what he thought about all of this? Has anybody ever rained on your parade or your good idea with a question like that? You were so gung-ho, and then somebody says, hey, have you prayed about that? And you go, oh, why'd you have to bring that up, right? So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 prophets, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall I not? Go, they all answered, for God will give it into the king's hand. Hey, rah, 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 let's have a pep rally. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord? He saw through all of this. These were prophets, but they were not prophets of God. Is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? Is there not somebody that we can really trust here? The 400 prophets Ahab asked were all on Ahab's payroll. And they always agreed with the king's course of action because, well, if they didn't, they might get fired. In addition, the prophets were all of other gods, Baal and Asherah and all of these other gods, not of Jehovah, the God of Israel. So the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, is there still one whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. He is Micah, the son of Elamah. Friends, my dad told me many times, hate clouds judgment. Oh, he was big on this. Never hate anybody. Is there anyone you avoid because he or she always asks you the tough questions? Why is it we know where this story is going? Without even finishing the story, we kind of get the gist, like this is something we can predict. Why is it we can see where this story is going, but we can't see it in the mirror when it's happening to us? We can't always see what the obvious right in front of our face, can we? The king should not say such a thing, Jehoshaphat said. He kind of corrected his friend. Thank God for Jehoshaphat. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micah at once. Bring this guy to us right now. The messenger who had gone to summon Micah said to him, look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. So look at this. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. If you know what's good for you, you'll tell the king what he wants to hear. But Micah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says. Yay for him, right? When he arrived, the king asked him, Micah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, your majesty, he said, for they will be given into your hands. I don't know the tone in which this was said, but I have to think it was said sarcastically, because the king knew this wasn't what he was really saying. He might have said like, yeah, go and attack and be victorious, right? Sure they'll be given into your hands. So there was some inference here, and the king knew it, and we know that because of this. Look at what the king responds with in the very next verse. And then Micah answered, The king said, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? See, that's how we know there was something in there. Then look here in verse 16. Then he answered, I saw Israel scattered. This is what I really saw. I saw Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, you weren't in the picture, O king. And the Lord said, these people have no master. He's gone. What does that mean for the king? He's going to die. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel ordered, take this guy, take Micah, and send him back to Anan, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Take him out of here and say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison. And say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Do you know why he said this? So that the other soldiers outside wouldn't hear the prophecy that the king was going to die. That's a real morale killer. You don't want that going around before battle, do you? Put this fella in prison. And then the prophet declared, if you ever return safely, you kind of hear the sarcasm in this prophet's voice. If you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, like a declaration. Mark my words, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, they went anyway to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, hey, I will enter the battle in disguise. Shouldn't Jehoshaphat have known at this point? I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes. Why do you think that is? Ahab knew the prophet was right, didn't he? He really didn't know. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. This is when he should have known. Let's not do this. But now he's sort of committed. He's run his mouth, and he's going to look kind of foolish if he doesn't go forward with this. Now the king of Aram ordered his chariot commanders, the enemy, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel. That's the only one I want you fighting with. Forget his soldiers. Forget the king of Judah. Just focus on that guy. I can't stand him. And when the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat in his kingly garb, they thought, we don't even have to finish this sentence, do we? You know exactly what they thought, but for the sake, we'll finish it. They thought, this is the king of Israel. Look at what he looks like. So they turned to attack Jehoshaphat, the godly king. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, because that's what God does with his people. God drew them away from Jehoshaphat, for when the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, Ahab, they stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow at random. They stopped pursuing Jehoshaphat, and then somebody just went, you know, shoot, and shot a bow at random. You see, we defend our bad actions, don't we? We think, I'll just be careful. I know a lot of people have gone down this road and foolishly done dumb stuff, and they paid for it, but I'm gonna do it, but I'll just be careful. And at first, nothing happens. And then perhaps for a season of life, nothing happens. And we think, oh, I got out of it. I got away with it. It'll all work out. I was careful. It'll all be okay. I'll get away with this. But someone drew an arrow, drew his bow at random. And what happened? And hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. In this case, it was between the shoulder piece and the chest. And it must have gone into his chest or hit a major artery there. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long, the battle raged, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot, facing the Arameans until evening. Then at sunset, Ahab died. Israel and Judah lost so many men that day, but they did not take the city. There's some observations in this story that I don't want you to miss. Ahab literally lost his life because he listened to the wrong voices and because he distanced himself from the right voices. Ahab knew what was right, but he would not listen. And one more thing, being careful won't compensate you for wisdom. Being careful won't compensate you for caution or obedience, will it, ever? Watch. I've watched people lose their marriages. I've watched people lose their financial security. I've watched teenagers wander away. I've watched teenagers lose their freedom. I've watched singles lose their best years of their life. I've watched students lose scholarships because they leaned into the wrong advice. They knew the right advice. Even somebody told them the right advice, but they ignored that. So what are the implications of this message? The implications are easy. What we don't want to hear is most usually what we do need to hear. Did you get that? What we don't want to hear is usually what we really do need to hear. Who we don't want to hear it from is usually the exact person we need to hear from the most. Because what and who you listen to will influence what you do. So for next week, come back to church next week, join us online next week, ask and answer these important questions. And let me just give a warning to the guys here. There is nothing masculine about ignoring good advice and taking a chance and making a stupid decision. Mama, I know you don't like me to use the word stupid, but it's just the real deal here. There's nothing masculine about ignoring good advice and making a really dumb decision. Hey, I want you to turn in your sermon notes. If you haven't downloaded those, you haven't clicked on those, there's a link. If you're on the website page, there's a link there you can click on for sermon notes. And If you're on Facebook, there's a place there for it in the chat where you can click and get the links for today. And on that links set of links, there's sermon notes. If you just go to southbaychurchla.org/links, you'll get to today's links. In there, you'll see some questions, these questions I want you to think about this week, especially if you're part of our online group or one of our groups in our church. The first question is, who are you listening to? And intuitively, I bet you know which side of the tracks they live on, right? Which side of the advice they're going to give you. The second question is, who do you need to quit listening to? You probably know who that is. Who does your spouse wish you would quit listening to? Who does your mama or your dad wish you would quit listening to? Who should you be listening to? Maybe your group at church. Maybe you should get into a group at church. Call Pastor Matt this week and get connected with a group. Maybe you should listen to somebody at church. What do you need to hear? What do you not want to hear, but you need to hear it anyway? Whose advice are you resisting just because you don't like the person giving it? Who is that? Here's some advice for you. Here's some advice for you this morning. Really, I want you to listen for a second. I'm going to give you some free advice. Begin today by trusting the Lord. Don't wait to draw near to God until you need him. Do you know what separates you from God? Your sin separates you from God. One day you're going to really need God. Sin separates you from God. Sin separates you from other people. And sin separates you from the you you want to be. You don't want to be that person with all this stuff going on. You want to be someone successful with a purpose that can make a difference in life. Listen to the right advice. And the right advice today is lean into God. God loves you. And sin separates you. Sin separates you. Every time you tell a lie, every time you steal something, every time you look with someone with lust and you have sexual relations outside of the holy bounds of matrimony, even if that's just in your mind, Jesus said that's the same thing as adultery. If you have hatred, it's the same as murder. Anger is the same as murder. If you covet your neighbor's property or misuse the name of God or dishonor your parents or have something, anything above God or don't keep the Sabbath day, how many times a day do we sin? And sin separates. And the penalty for sin is death. And God loves you. He doesn't want to punish you, but he also is just. He is good. He is a good, just God. And God's goodness will ensure that he deals with every sin on Judgment Day. He cannot just let you go free. If a really great judge let a murderer go free that was evidently clear that he was guilty, we would call that a bad judge because he swore to uphold the law. God's goodness will be what condemns you on Judgment Day. So listen, my friend, turn to God, because God has created a way for you to be forgiven of your sins. And that's through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is all God and all man, and he came from heaven to earth to die on a cross to pay the death penalty for our sin. Not his sin. He didn't have any sin to pay for. He was perfect in every way, yet he died. Wages of sin is death, and Jesus died. He died to pay the death penalty for your sin. And if you will place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life, God will forgive you for your sins. He will start to show you the path of wisdom to transform and regenerate your entire life. And he will lead you into a life of incredible promises. Listen, trust God today. Repent of your sins. Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. And lean into his word, the Bible. And read it and do what it says. It'll never, ever, ever let you down. Let's close in prayer this morning. God, we just come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would make this word real to everyone listening. And that, Lord, you would teach us not to lean into bad advice, but to lean into your advice. And God, we pray in Jesus' name for everyone listening today that didn't know if they died today, they'd go to heaven. And then they heard the way they can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Lord, all of us have sinned, but Jesus Christ made a way for us to be forgiven. I pray today you would birth faith in their hearts, that you would give them the gift of repentance and help them turn wholeheartedly to you to seek a new life with Jesus. And Lord, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before you turn the program off, listen, I want you to take a second and click on the New Believer tab. I believe, I think it says. If you go to southbaychurchallied.org/I believe, you can get a New Believer package. You fill out the form. We'll send that to you anywhere in the country tomorrow, free of charge. We don't charge anything for that. It's a new Bible. It's a Bible study, a spiritual birth certificate. It's a really cool packet. So click on that and get that New Believer packet, and we'll love to bless you with it. God bless you. Have a great day.